Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. The show tapes live some weeks on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Check my Twitter feed, ANNZAC, for more. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Jacob's here.
Hello, folks.
Yep. We're here. Hell or high water, here we are.
Hey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although we won't be here next week because it's Thanksgiving. So.
Disappear into
the this week there was going to be a Funimation episode, but they asked me to postpone that. I'm in contact with them. We'll find out what's happening with that. Soon enough, but in the meantime, we're doing a regular episode this week. Next week we're off for Thanksgiving, and then the week after that will be Gankutsuo, our Gankutsuo episode. That's the next series discussion, so if you want to join us, you got 2 weeks basically to watch it. Maybe you can watch that over Thanksgiving, if you don't have anything to do, like us.
Dust off my copy of the original novel and peruse it.
Oh, jeez.
It's one of my favorite books.
Written by, who wrote that?
I don't remember his name off the top of my head. It's not Alexander Dumas, because that's a big misconception. It's some other French person.
People only think that because it's in...
Oh, it was Alexander Dumas? Did I have it wrong?
Yeah, it is, because
okay,
that was in Shawshank Redemption. That's the only reason everyone knows that, is because it was in Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. And, you know, English 201.
What is the misconception? Who do they think that... Did they say Victor Hugo? Is that the misconception? Oh, well.
Maybe Victor Hugo?
No, Alexander Dumas did write it,
yes.
But there's a common misconception that this other famous French person wrote it, so I'm saying maybe that is Victor Hugo. People think Victor Hugo wrote it, but he did not. I don't know. Maybe that's the thing, but whatever. So I had it right the first
time. Okay, chat says Victor Hugo is the misconception.
Oh, okay, so I had it backwards. I had the right answer, and then the misconception was wrong. Anyway,
so we should have that Funimation podcast for you soon. Hopefully. I have no idea. We'll find out. And I want to apologize because I've been overpromising on writing, which is something that I do when I feel like I really want to do a lot of writing and desperately want to, but it's just not in the cards. And so you're now taking Escaflowne.
Finishing up Code Geass and Escaflowne.
And then you're going to do Escaflowne next. And then I'm putting, like, next week we have our gift guide, and then we have our year end, and then we're working on a bunch of stuff for next year. So.
And I have an editorial on Keijo that's going to be at the time that this podcast is
by the time this podcast goes up, people will have read your upcoming editorial on Keijo.
Writing about butts.
Yep, that's a job.
That's my job, I'm writing about
Back to the butt mines with you.
It's fun.
You there! You taking a break? Get back to those butt mines.
Get yourself back in that... You wedge yourself back in that crack and you get to work.
That's terrible.
Okay.
That's terrible. Anyway, so you're handling that, and look forward to a lot of editorial expansion on it. Well, not a lot, but significant editorial expansion on it, and we're bringing in some folks, and we got a lot of plans, and yeah. It should be good. It should be good. What have we been watching lately?
Just the current season anime. It's a lot of it. Like, there's a lot of it that's pretty interesting, so I'm pretty, you know.
I feel like we saw a movie.
Oh, what movie did we see in theaters?
What movie was that?
Doctor Strange?
No. We saw another movie after that. The Arrival. No, Just Arrival.
Just Arrival, yeah.
Just Arrival.
Which
Man.
Was nice.
That's how quickly that movie sort of escaped my consciousness. Like, I like that movie a lot, but, and it's really good. You should definitely go see it.
It is a watch once through. Like, watch
it once.
Definitely watch this once.
Watch it once.
And then you don't really need to see it. But
it's a good movie. I forgot about it pretty quickly, though. Largely because I didn't expect it to be as personal and kind of relatively simple as it was.
Yeah.
Like, it's relatively simple, and it's very personal and very sad, but... Mm-hmm.
The goal is making you believe very strongly, like, total immersion in this fairly simple what-if scenario.
Yeah.
Like, it could be a short story. It would be a really good short story, but they turned it into a movie. I mean, originally I think it was a book, but, like... it's a very, like, in-depth anthropological argument that happens to have, like, a really... heavy emotional through line to it. So it's really strong, but it's kind of a watch once sort of movie. And yeah, and you want to go in knowing as little as possible, so I almost don't want to discuss it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not really anything to say. Just, you know, it's original sci-fi. It's thinky and arty and slow. And mm-hmm. yeah, the director really likes David Fincher right. and Stanley Kubrick. But yeah, it's a cool movie. But yeah, other than that, my escape has been anime. Uh-huh. Both escape and work are... let me tell you, this. It's a nice time to have a job like this. I'll say that.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. Yeah.
But for anime, it's been pretty good. Uh-huh. However... I apologize to you in advance for the fact that this is quickly turning into the Yuri on Ice and Girlish Number podcast.
I have other stuff that I can bring up if we want diversity, but yeah,
those
are the shows you're watching.
Okay, those are the shows I'm watching, but yeah. Let's talk about the stuff that you watch that I'm not watching. What stood out this week?
Oh, what stood out literally just today, because I just caught up on it today, was as far as things that people aren't really talking about, but... are still good in some metric, is that Rugby Butts anime, All Out, which is a pretty rote sports anime, at least at first. It's like, but it's not like Days, that terrible soccer anime from last season, Days, that just collapsed. I started to watch that, and it got so bad so fast that I tapped out, and we stopped covering it because people tapped out really hard on that one. But, so the rugby anime is not like that. Like, it's a little rote. Like, it's, okay, this is a sports anime. But it's got a couple unique things going for it. The animation is serviceable. The character designs are really unique and fun. And what got me today, the newest episode that really got me is that I really kind of resonated with the protagonist, who, when he's first introduced, is angry short guy. You know, he's like, nobody takes him seriously because he's short. And he can't get into any sports because he's short, and so he joins rugby because he figures out, I can be useful to tackle people even though I'm not, large or heavy or anything like that. I can tackle people by taking out their legs. Mm. So that's his strength, you know. And it was like, okay, well, that's interesting, I guess. And the show so far has been pretty good, you know, it's just watchable. But then this episode really got me because it went into the protagonist's, feelings, his real feelings on why... he ended up getting into rugby and why he's so angry all the time. And he's angry all the time because, he just really wanted to be part of a sport and nobody would ever accept him because of his stature. And so he started, fighting back and trying to prove his masculinity to them. He tried to prove, I'm tough and I can fight as part of the sport and, I want to be on the basketball team, I want to be on the soccer team or whatever. And it's just, and the more rejection that he got, the more angry he got. And all he really wanted was, fellow male friends. But he could never get this team, he could never get this team dynamic, he could never get, fellow dude friends. He could never get that rapport, and he only pushed more people away the more, bitter he got over this rejection. And I felt that. I was like, oh, wow, that was, how I felt when I was, in middle school or whatever. Because I was also, I didn't fit in with the boys or whatever. I wasn't a jock by any means, but, I didn't fit in with the nerd boys, and it was, because I did feel in my case, it wasn't because I was, short, but I was definitely smaller than them. Absolutely. I felt that feeling of being small and weak and powerless and never taken seriously, never listened to or paid attention to, even though you feel like you have so much to offer and you just kind of want that community. And so, yeah, I really felt for Gian and I was like, oh, okay, I'm down with this show. I liked it before, but it's not outstanding. It's just a really solid, pleasant sports anime if you want that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's just, it's such a strong season and there's so much other stuff to watch that is kind of going under the radar. But there is so on Crunchyroll's most popular anime graph that they showed, you know, globally, there is this small area in Canada where the number one anime is All Out.
All Out.
And it's that makes me laugh because it's like, is this a rugby obsessive part of Canada perhaps where this is the... Anyway, I don't know what part of Canada it is. Somebody look up on that map and tell me, where it is and if that means anything, but that made me laugh.
That's funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that show seems like no one's really talking about it, but maybe now they will if it's suddenly getting good and, worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, it's a slow build. Well, the animation's not great. It's not bad. It's not like Days. It's not garbage animation. It's just very serviceable. It doesn't have... And it doesn't have that fan service Fujoshi eye. People thought it was going to be a Fujoshi show. It's kind of just all genders and ages sports... there's plenty of, if you like big dudes, it's full of big dudes, which I appreciate personally, but it's not fan service-y on them. They just exist. You know, it's not going up their butts or anything, so.
Not going up their butts.
It's not going up their butts, but they are muscular and cool looking and, you know, They get, oh, so if you don't know anything about rugby, so there's this thing called a scrum. Apparently, there's these formations. I didn't know anything about rugby, but the formation is they all crouch down and then they reach up an arm underneath the guy's crotch and grab the front of his shirt and pull down on the front of his shirt while their arm is just rubbing up against his junk. That's the formation. So they do this in every episode, and I'm like, ah, it looks so gay. But you know, apparently that's just a rugby formation thing. Some of the stuff they do in rugby is like super awkward. Anyway, but it's fantastic.
That's cool. I watched one episode. It wasn't that big a deal.
Right. I'm touching on the little known, like the stuff that may fall by the wayside this season. But obviously the biggest stuff we'll talk about, you know, together. But yeah, All Out. It's nice. If you don't have enough sports anime in your life right now or next season, if it's a little bit slow, check it out.
All right. Anything else, or is that the standout this week?
Yeah, I would say that's it for this week.
All right, well, I guess we should talk about Yuri on Ice.
Yep.
It's been 2 weeks since we've talked about Yuri on Ice, mm-hmm. and now we'll talk about 2 weeks worth of Yuri on Ice. Boy, sure is good. So I found myself getting a little... First of all, the animation episode 6 like really fell down mm-hmm. like a lot.
It did. It was
ambitious, and you go on and on about this. You're like, well, they're trying so hard. Like, they're animating every last little thing.
I've something with that many, like, a fluid, needs to be fluidly animated routine. So it is fluid, it's just not on model, like, at all. It's that kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Honestly, like, sometimes they're not, though. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes those ice skating sequences
I'm never
like,
bored, so in my opinion,
no, of course, the show's not boring.
Yeah.
But also, I got a little, I was a little like, all right, when episode 6 and 7 had the exact same structure, and they were both interesting, and I liked them both, but they skate, you learn about their backstory, they skate, you learn about their backstory, they skate, right. You learn about their backstory, and that's fine, but they did it twice in a row, and, you know, if I had a complaint about the show, I guess that would be it, but
right.
Mostly I just can't believe how good the writing is, and how good the pacing is, and how much I like... how they draw you into the next episode by using rising action music at the end of every episode. And also, I feel like that show is so in love with its characters, and that's what's so infectious about it. Like, mm-hmm. It makes you also love the characters because it's – everyone in it is trying really hard to do this thing that they really care about. It's all love and passion, and boy, it feels good – it's, you know, now. It feels good now. But it felt good when it started. It feels extra good now. It's a great show.
Right.
I really love it.
Yeah. I'm totally behind it. I feel like I was this way with... I can't remember the last time I was this way with the show. I guess it was Stardust Crusaders, where after I would watch an episode, I would find some excuse to rewatch part of it. I think I rewatched specifically from the most recent episode. I know the big thing people were talking about from that, and it's great, like, that it happened. There was a smooch. But, like, the big thing that I couldn't stop, like, looking at was Georgie Popovich's routine. So Georgie Popovich is the guy, he's not going to be moving on to the final, like, his time in the spotlight of the show is probably done. I hope he gets a cameo before the end so we just find out, like, maybe he moved on with his life and stopped being such a dick. But his whole thing is, like, he's trying to get his girlfriend back through his seasonal routine, and he's doing this really self indulgent, entitled thing where he's dancing. So there's two routines, basically, there's two different skating routines per season that you just repeat over and over, basically. And so his are, in the first routine, he's a witch who curses his girlfriend for dumping him. And in the second routine, he's a handsome prince who rescues her from that curse. And that duality, that entitled, self-absorbed duality is so indicative of the kind of thinking that a lot of these guys go through, like scrubs, fuckboys, if you will. Fuck boys, if you will. And
I shall.
And his girlfriend reacts to this. His girlfriend, like, sits through the first one. And then when he starts in on the, but I forgive you, and now I'm going to rescue you from this other boy that you dumped me for, she gets up and just leaves in the middle of the routine. And that's why he's not continuing to the finals, because he breaks down after she goes, screw this, like, I've had enough of your bullshit. And she leaves. And he screams, and the scream is hilarious, and it's just, it was fantastic, it made me giggle. And because the song he picked was so on the nose, it's like this soaring, like, ballad with where the singer's like singing, "I'm gonna save you from yourself," or whatever the hell it is. And I giggled. Anyway, it's really good. I'm not even talking about Yuri and Victor, but the Yuri and Victor, like, their relationship is being explored so wonderfully. There's, like, a great subtlety of emotion and passion in their relationship. It's not following any of the, like, play-by-play, here's a romantic drama thing. It's more like, it's not about them falling in love. It's not the typical arc for, like, they fall in love, then there's a misunderstanding, and then they have a falling out, and then they get back together. It's not like that. It's like this slow build of they already have strong feelings for each other, and then how do they express these feelings without hurting each other? And if they do hurt each other, how do they get past that in kind of a natural way and not like a heightened? Everything's heightened, but it's not in a paint by numbers kind of way. I don't know. It's neat to see. They seem like very real people, you know. So yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much all of that. I wonder if the non-Yuri skating scenes will be touched up at all for the Blu-rays. I have to imagine they will be.
I'm so sure that they will be, because, yeah. Just the fact that Crunchyroll gets a different version from what tends to go on broadcast, so they are revising this to the last second they can.
For sure, yeah.
And, you know. But it's pre-orders are looking really strong for it. Like, this is going to be the big hit of the season. There's probably going to be several things that sell really high, but this is pre-orders for the first Blu-ray are like topping the charts. So, yeah, hopefully they will be able to go in and clean a lot of that up.
Yeah, totes. I agree. The other thing, obviously, I watched Girlish Number, which is going in some interesting directions. Yeah. I didn't really expect it to go the way it did. That's not true. I did, because it was obvious from the get-go that the show was more interested. It was interested in the first couple episodes of Cheetos, as I call it.
Cheetos. My friend Cheetos.
You get yours, Cheetos. That's what I say when I'm watching that show. Yeah. I say that to myself. Yeah, you get yours, Cheetos. Mm-hmm. You make those stacks.
Right.
Is always a little bit more interested in what was happening in the production. It was obviously more interested in what was going on there and wanted to comment on that. Oh. And now it's doing that way, way more, to the point where they're spending long takes just wallowing in the frustration that everyone working on that project is feeling, specifically sort of the middle managers and sort of the hapless producers that got stuck sort of holding the bag on it.
Everybody except the main producer and his toady, I want to say. I don't know exactly what their roles are on the production, but it's like two guys. And everybody else is miserable, and they're like, well, we're taking home the largest chunk of this, and we're like woefully misusing it, so, you know, we're happy.
Yeah, and that stuff is pretty fascinating, because, you know, Shirobako's, it shows the hardships, but it's pretty cheery. It's cheery about the whole thing. They're working on something that they want to work on. That's about a project that is largely about, you know, passion and fire, and everybody working on it is excited to be there. This is specifically about a light novel anime that is based on a light novel, being made for cynical reasons that hardly anyone likes. The sales are bad, but they're making more anyway. Like, this is a microcosm of all of the garbage chaff that gets made every season. And the show feels like it's kind of trying to cry out, like, it sucks working on these. It sucks working on light novel anime that no one really likes. Sucks.
Yeah.
And you can feel the frustration in the script, how long they hold some of those cuts. I felt like the screenwriter was telling me directly, like, this is what it's like. You have to sit here and this entire thing is falling down around you and you have to give it 90 hours of your life and you hate it.
It's not even that just no one working on it cares about it. A lot of people working on it don't care about it. But also, like, the people who want to turn it into something good, aren't given that opportunity because the production is hell. Like, terrible decisions are being made on the producer's end, on the higher up end. And the actresses, like, even though they're talented, are being given, like, nonsense material to work with and, like, no animation to go off of, and there's no sense of camaraderie between them. It's all, like, they know that this project's being mishandled. So, like, even people who would maybe make a good thing out of it aren't being given the resources to make a good thing out of it, and they're, like, miserable. And it's interesting. I think it's especially interesting given that the guy who wrote this was part of a misbegotten light novel project,
right? Yeah.
Qualidea Code, which was so no one cares that we didn't cover it a season ago, and so timeline wise, like, yeah, he would have been working on Qualidea Code like slightly before he was writing for this, or maybe concurrently with this. So absolutely, we kind of can guess where this may have come from.
Yeah, it's the show's kind of taken on a different dimension, and it's sort of the not, I don't want to say the anti Shirobako, but it's just. From a different perspective, from a show, and we know that the conditions are not great, and we know that a lot of people working on these shows aren't happy, and I appreciate the opportunity to empathize with their situation, understand it more, and when I'm so now, if I'm watching a crappy light novel anime or whatever, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm gonna maybe empathize a little bit more with the guys who are making it and be like, okay, I don't want to be that hard on this because this is being made to fill a hole that they feel like needs, like it's. It's product being made by, you know, people who don't want to make it.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Yeah. And although I do want to point out, so, like, as interesting as that angle is, in terms of the show itself, I'm beginning to fall out of love with it a little bit. Just because of the pacing and the sort of lack
pacing.
Of characterization.
It's having real pacing problems.
The lack of characterization is kind of catching up with it, too. Because it's so much about this macro view of how bad this production is, it's not giving... I really liked what they were doing with the base ideas of these characters at the beginning, but it's now halfway through the series, and Chitose is kind of still not really being explored very well, and it's still exploiting her... she's sympathetic if you kind of want to care about her, but the show is still exploiting her very obvious same flaws over and over for the same effect, the same comedic head-shaking OU effect. And it's kind of like, all right, well, we need to move past this in some capacity. She doesn't necessarily have to grow or change, but something about the presentation of this needs to grow or change. But, you know, it's just beginning to drag a bit, I guess.
Yeah, I thought that... there's an episode, I think it's 5 or 6 where they have to, they go and shoot this bonus material for one of the Blu-rays, and it's just all the girls wearing swimsuits, mm-hmm. and they just show you the whole bonus thing. They mm-hmm. just animate that, mm-hmm. and it's super lazy and obvious, and mm-hmm. the second half of that episode is entirely about the production. It's obvious what their real focus was.
Uh-huh.
The writing had gotten a little bit weaker. Like, yeah, it's struggling a little bit. I feel like now I kind of appreciate it a little bit differently, and I like what it's doing, so we'll see where it goes. But it's very flawed. It's got a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I don't want to say it's of two minds or of two focuses, but I think maybe the thing that got it greenlit, the thing that they were focusing on ostensibly, which is cute girls, even Shirobako also did the 5 cute girls thing. But Shirobako was able to move into a larger story very effortlessly while still keeping them part of it. This feels like, okay, here's the shtick of 5 cute girls, and then it feels kind of divorced from what they really care about talking about. And, you know, but it's still a good show, but it's beginning to become less interesting to me personally.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, that's kind of all I've been watching. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
I've been real busy. We have so much to do. Mm-hmm. So we should probably get to these Twitter questions.
Right. Oh, I did want to mention one more thing.
Go ahead.
Because you dropped it earlier, but Mark Swims in Like a Lion finally got to the point in episode 5 and 6. Episodes 5 and 6 are really, really good. And I like them a lot.
All right, I'll go back and watch them.
Yeah, well, it is really a flaw of too literal adaptation. They are just taking, like, literally one... chapter is the first half of each episode, and another chapter, second half of each episode. And you could tell because they title the halves of the episode. They just put a title card up that says chapter 10 of the manga. Here's the title, and then they animate it. And it's like that doesn't, you know, and is really kind of beginning to hamper it because it's like, oh, this episode 5 is outstanding, and it should have been episode 2 or 3. And in a smarter adaptation, maybe it would have been. But yeah, it's. The execution of it was really solid. It really got into the psychology of why this guy is depressed and what informs his depression and his fears and stuff like that. And it was really, really good. So, yeah, Mark Swims in Like a Lion. If you were a little cautious, just check out episode 5. You could actually skip. I wouldn't, like, say you should do this because I'm sure you're missing on some plot details or whatever. But you could, if you wanted to, skip from wherever you were past episode 1 straight to 5, not miss anything, and get that crucial backstory. that you might be interested in like knowing in order to give a crap about this guy's life. So, yeah.
All right. We should talk about Drifters at some point. I've dropped it completely. I guess I should watch more.
It is violent.
Yep, that's what I hear.
There's not a lot to say. It is violent. We can talk about it, next time.
Speaking of like next time, we also said we would talk about Sound Euphonium and all that stuff, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it. We just haven't had time yet. Let's get to Twitter questions. Lou Derry asks, has sports anime ever made you want to try the sport in question? Yeah, I mean, like, well, okay. Everyone played Go when Hikaru no Go came out. Mm-hmm. And everyone played Card Fight Buddy. Man, I can't even finish the joke. Because I can't Buddy Fight, Card
Fight, Vanguard.
Vanguard Buddy Fight?
It's Card Fight, Vanguard.
Vanguard, Card Fight, Vanguard, Buddy Fight.
No, Buddy something is something else.
What is Buddy Fight?
Card Fight Vanguard is a show. I don't know what the Buddy thing is.
Is this Buddy Fight?
Yeah.
That's what you... That's someone's mom in the star.
Buddy fighting right now?
Is this Buddy Fight? No, that's Card... That's Card Vanguard.
Card Shield Butt Fight Monkey Barf.
Anyway. Sports anime has never made me particularly want to run out and play sports. I was not a athletic person for a very long time, and that may change in the future. So, yeah. Stefan asks...
I wanted to answer the
question. Oh, go ahead, Jacob. Sorry.
IQ made me want to play volleyball really bad, but then I was like, I can just watch volleyball, and then I tried to watch volleyball matches, and they were really boring, and so then I just continued to watch IQ. But, like, I played volleyball just as a requirement thing in gym and enjoyed it. So watching Haikyuu made me go, "Oh, this would be fun to play." But like, there's not really an opportunity to do that necessarily. So yeah.
Stefan asks, "Flip Flappers has finally shifted into high gear right before a change in screenwriter. Will this be of harm to it?"
Possibly. So. The screenwriter of Flip Flappers quit after episode 6, apparently. Like, she parted ways in the production. The second half is going to be written by somebody else. I don't even know who that is yet. But I watched episode 7 basically right before this podcast, and the quality didn't drop. It was still good. So it may be that if the scenario is fleshed out... That show is not, like, writing-driven. Like, writing is important to it, but it's mostly visually driven. So it may be if the scenario is the same, whatever writer takes over can just kind of play it by the general plot points and it'll be okay. So there didn't seem to be a quality drop to me, but we'll have to see what happens in the last 5, so.
All right. Let's see here. Anime Wondering asks, can you discuss the meaty subject that is Sound Euphonium 2? No, not yet.
Not yet.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Paresh Miraj asks, first impressions of the live-action Fullmetal Alchemist? Well, I mean, it'll be like those Kenshin movies, right?
Yeah, I just saw production pictures, and I thought it looked like cosplay, so I didn't look at more.
Yeah, it's always the thing with those.
It looked like cosplay.
So. Let's see here. Branko Berkson asks, what do you think of Sakugaboru, which is blog.sakugaboru.com? I'm pretty sure we hire, like, plenty of those writers, and they do a lot of good writing. You should check it out. I endorse sakugaboru.blog.com. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good site.
Yeah, it's a good resource for cuts.
Yeah, if you're really into specifically animation, I should say that. Like, yeah, specifically if you're into the Sakuga thing, which uh-huh. is animation, uh-huh. It's good. Let's see. Also from Branko, will there be a lot of think pieces about live-action cartoons when Ghost in the Shell and Beauty and the Beast come out in the same month? Yes.
Probably, yes, there will be. Yeah.
You'll see maybe some of those on Animaniacs Network.
The floodgates will open. I'm excited for the Ghost in the Shell movie.
It looks really good, I think.
Yeah,
it looks cool.
It looks like they cared and they tried very hard, which is not what you usually see from video game and anime adaptations. So yes.
Yeah. Gleo asks, I've never seen Wolf's Rain in my entire life. Should I watch it sub or dub for the first time when the BD comes out?
They're both good.
They're both
whatever
good.
You prefer.
Yeah.
It's not a very dialogue heavy show. But they are both good.
Yeah. Looking forward to those Blu-rays.
Yes.
Just to have it.
Yes. I want them.
We have the old, cruddy old DVDs.
Yes.
That release is really crappy and old.
It is old. I don't know if it's crappy.
I have that, like, weird trapezoidal black box.
Yeah.
That Bandai Entertainment thing. Weird. Okay. Rogue of Space asks, question for both of you. What is your go-to happy place anime or movie for when you're feeling down? Happy Place anime is... lately, it's been Redline, just because it takes my mind off of things. Old stuff. I like stuff from, like, the 80s and the 90s that usually... I don't know, it's comforting. But yeah, most recently I was watching The Fifth Element, so that's my perfect comfort movie.
Right.
What about you?
I usually watch old Disney movies, and if it's an anime, if I'm really feeling down, if it's an anime, it is one of the monster shows. It's Pokemon or Digimon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've seen you watch those when you're super sick. Yeah.
And things are bad. It's time to put on a monster show from my childhood.
Our Hopper asks, has Drifters at all won either of you over from your initial impressions?
It's gotten better. It's improved. His strength is not the writing, you know, so, but it's definitely not a bad show. Like, it's easy to watch. But yeah, the script and stuff is not really the strength of Hirano's anything that I've seen. So I wasn't expecting that to be the drive.
Right. Okay. Our friend Adam Sheehan now works at Crunchyroll. Anime cons, threat or menace? Both, really, depending on the time of year.
Yeah.
If it's summertime, they're a menace. Mm-hmm. Other every other time of the year, they're a threat. I think for Adam, who works at conventions most of the time, they're always a menace.
Mm. I like conventions, though.
Yeah, I don't mean that sincerely negatively.
They drive me insane, though. Yeah, like, I'm working so hard, I think I might melt into a puddle of goo and die, but
yeah.
It's a good busy. It's just stress to the max. Usually because preview guide's going on at the same time.
All right. Ewan Kenobi asks, which is better, Drifters or Helsing?
Helsing. Sorry. He made his masterpiece, I think. Drifters is kind of... Drifters really does... People have brought this up, but, like, I think he said remarks to the same effect, but, like, Drifters is kind of made for Coda Hirano. Like, with Helsing, maybe he was a little more concerned about what people thought. Drifters is just kind of made for Coda Hirano and no one else. Which is still entertaining, but, yeah, Helsing's more compelling.
Carlos asks, I haven't been keeping up with Zeta, and now it seems like everyone's down on it. What happened?
Hiroyuki Yoshino showed his true colors, basically. It became a... And then they tickle each other and grope, and then they go out for pies.
Mm, okay.
And there's military intrigue in the background, but it's all based on contrivances that I'll come up with at the last second. And meanwhile, these two make eyes at each other and tickle, and they're very basic anime stereotypes. And, you know, it's just a shruggy, barely written series of anime tropes. It's Hiroyuki Yoshino. He's written like a million things, and they're all at this level of quality, so we shouldn't have been surprised.
All right. Grant the Thief asks, given that the Ghost in the Shell movie trailer was actually competent, do you have any hopes for what themes it might cover? I mean, I hope that it's just a less impenetrable version of Ghost in the Shell.
I mean,
that's maybe updated a little bit, hopefully modernized. Like,
it looks like they're going the route of Motoko being obsessed with her own identity rather than the concept of identity. Like, the movies, the show, Motoko is fascinated with the idea of what makes a human being. And the movie, I think wisely, as a standalone Hollywood-type thing, American, like, wide audience thing, is, like, Motoko is concerned with who she is as a person. And I think that that's the route to go. Like, nothing's going to erase what Ghost in the Shell is. You'll always have that. But for this maybe wider audience thing, yeah, go the route of personal identity.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that take on it. It seems fine to me. I'm just keeping an open mind. I legitimately think it looks good. I'm not, like, forcing myself to say that or whatever. It looks like a pretty cool
movie.
It
looks cool. My faith is strong right now.
Yeah. Logan Peterson asks, do you think Hollywood should stop adapting anime to live action for Westerners and instead just promote the original content? Nope.
People get interested in this stuff, gateways. You gotta create gateways.
Thoughts on the new Pokemon anime? Asks Real J. Poe.
It looks cool. It looks really animated. Like, they've thrown away, like, the super rigid kid show designs, and now they're going, like, more squash and stretch and wackiness, and it's like, it looks really nifty. Like, I was seeing cuts. I apparently follow a lot of people who fucking love Pokemon, because I was seeing cuts and gifs from it all over Twitter today, and they look great. Like, it looks like a very huggable cartoon.
Jacob, I don't know how to tell you this, but everybody apparently fucking loves Pokemon.
I like it. I'm just not watching the show anymore. Like, you know.
Well, you're not a child.
What? But there's grown people watching.
Womp, womp.
There's grown people watching it.
I know. So. I'm not. I don't have any. I take no issue with that. I'm just playing around. I'm just playing. That's it for Twitter. Do we have any questions from the chat? Sorry, the episode's a little short. At this point in time, asks Vicious, what do you predict will be the commercial hit of the fall? Well,
it looks like Yuri on Ice and Drifters are the high pre-orders in Japan, and then over here it's kind of the same, to be honest. Usually there's a big divide, but nope. Seems like maybe we're all interested in the same thing this season, which is Drifters and Yuri on Ice are the big things, it seems.
Right. Yeah, time to watch Drifters, I think. See how it's going. Some anonymous guy asks, any other anime you want Hollywood to make live action versions of? I mean, I'm open to anything. Uh-huh. I'm very skeptical about Battle Angel, but we'll see.
Just make it good.
It doesn't matter. I don't care where it came from. You make it, you know, Australia could make a anime movie. If it's good, I don't care. I just want it to be good. That's all I care about. That's the only thing anybody should care about, in my estimation. That is the only thing anyone cares about, but I take no issue if people...
Right, like, I don't want them to make any of my favorites if they're bad, and I would be open to them making shows that I don't even like if they're good. Like, yeah, sure, live-action Elfin Lied adaptation that is somehow really good. I would be totally down with that, sure.
Ian RW asks, at this point, most anticipated movie of 2016. So, Martin Scorsese has this movie coming out called Silence that is apparently, like, the shit. Uh-huh. I'm excited about that.
There's a bunch of stuff out right now that we need to see, like Moonlight and The Handmaiden.
We need to see Moonlight, The Handmaiden. We need to see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
I hope I can understand it, because I haven't seen all the Harry Potters.
I'll fill you in.
Okay. You'll be like, what's that Phoenix thing with the
face? They said that it only has, like, little sprinkles of, like, references. Like, I'll get them, but you won't, and that doesn't change anything.
Right, yeah. Because I've seen half of the Harry Potter movies, and I kind of know the things that happened in the Harry Potter... Anyway.
Yeah, you know the vague... We should watch all those sometime.
Maybe.
You're like, nah. I don't see any reason to do that.
I saw the way it ends. I saw the last two. They're very long. Sorry. They're very long.
I'm excited to see Fantastic Beasts. I'm just in the mood. I like J.K. Rowling a lot. Like, she's a good lady. She has good attitudes about
things. Yeah, she's cool. She seems like
real
cool.
And she has good anti-fascist and anti-hatred messages in her work. And I'm excited about this one because it's more about that. And, right. You know, anytime there's that stuff in there, that's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. I could use a positive, uplifting thing.
Right.
Or at least fun. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about Star Wars, too. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I'm just hoping it's really good. I'm just hoping it's really good.
Cross your fingers that it's good.
Well, anyway. All right, guys. We're going to wrap up. And next week is Thanksgiving, so we won't see you then. But the week after that, we'll be back. We'll talk all about The Count of Monte Cristo. Anyway, thanks for stopping by the podcast, guys. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to the chat for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating, a review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week.